Welcome to the Naked Marriage Podcast. We are Dave and Ashley Willis. On this podcast, we address the truth about sex, intimacy, and lifelong love. It's going to be a great episode because Ashley's holding my hand right here at the start. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see. Oh, it was beautiful. You could be a hand model if you ever want to switch careers.
Oh my gosh. Hand modeling.
I can totally see that.
You're so silly.
We're glad you guys are here for this episode. This is such a special one. This is a bonus episode in more ways than one because we, for a long time, have wanted to feature a couple who have a powerful testimony about raising a special needs child and the unique challenges and blessings that can bring to a family and to a marriage. This couple's story is remarkable in that they're not only raising a special needs child, but Ashley's going to explain kind of the rest of their story. But whatever situation you're in, listen to this conversation. This is going to encourage you and challenge you in your faith and in your marriage.
It absolutely will. This couple's names, they're Ryan and Jess Roan. And you guys, their story, I don't want to give too much away, but basically they both each lost their spouse in a very tragic way and met each other in the midst of that grief. And through that, you know, they have 8 kids all together. Yeah. And one of those kids is severely a special needs child. And so he has some very, he has a lot of needs and he needs 24-hour care. And, you know, how they talk about that and their heart is really for caretakers. You know, I mean, they just have such a heart for reaching out to people like you who are listening, who are also raising special needs children. And they have a charity that helps with this. They are actually in the midst of doing a documentary about this. And she also has an amazing book that we're going to tell you about. So make sure you listen till the very end. They are a wealth of knowledge. They are also a breath of fresh air. So let's dive into today's conversation. Well, welcome Jess and Ryan to the podcast. You guys are amazing people. And as I mentioned in the beginning, you know, I've gotten to know Jess a little bit because I actually interviewed her in a Facebook Live. But I'm so excited for our listeners here on the Naked Marriage Podcast to get to know you all because you have such an amazing story, testimony, and you can speak on so many different things that we haven't really been able to dive into on this podcast. So I'd love to start out the conversation by you guys just sharing a little bit of your story, kind of how you met, that your family dynamic, if you want to start there.
It's all yours, babe.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having us. And, we met in 2010 after the deaths of our first spouses. My late husband, Jason, battled brain cancer for 3 years. And Ryan's late wife, Casey, battled brain cancer for a couple of months. And we both blogged from our states. I was in Michigan. He was in Oklahoma. And we just blogged as a therapeutic measure. The way to keep the masses in the loops as to what was going on in our lives. And when they passed away, a stranger who followed both of our blogs, she lives in Pennsylvania, actually reached out to me and said, hey, there's this widower in Oklahoma. He's not doing very well. I think you could be a source of encouragement to him. And the rest is history. Wow. I went to his blog, saw this grieving widower who had 3 young children. I had 4 young children, including a child with severe and profound special needs, my son Lucas. And we started emailing and talking on the phone, and we were married less than a year later. He moved to Michigan. We adopted each other's kids. A few years after that, we decided to pursue the simple life in rural Tennessee, which we discovered very quickly is not very simple. had our 8th and final child together. That was just something we really wanted to experience together. And a couple years into that, well, how long were we there? About 6-7 years?
6 years, yeah.
Years.
Almost 7.
Completely renovated this huge house on 30 acres, about killed us. And as Lucas, my son, continued to age and go through puberty, his aggression started to become really intense. Yeah. And we realized that we couldn't live this life of isolation anymore. So we moved towards Nashville, kind of thinking that would give us the resources and support we needed. And sadly, we discovered that Tennessee just is not the state to live in for support and resources anywhere. So Just recently, about a year ago, I think the pandemic brought everything to the surface for us. And we realized that we needed to move closer to friends and family who actually did love and care about us and would step into some of these gaps in our life. And we're in the process of moving to Michigan. I'm in Michigan. Ryan's still in Tennessee, wrapping up some loose ends there. And that's our plan. We're building an accessible home for our son, Lucas, and living in a temporary house right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow, man. I mean, that's...
Yeah, you guys are just heroes to see what you've come through and how you faced it together and how you've leaned on the Lord, leaned on each other. And really, like, I can't imagine just kind of all the different dynamics. There's a documentary being made about your family right now that's kind of focusing on, you know, specifically the dynamic of taking care of Lucas and life with a severe special needs child. So tell us a little bit about that project, kind of how that came to be and what you hope, the message of what you hope that documentary is going to do for folks and the awareness of it.
Mm-hmm. Am I going to have to refer back to you again, honey?
Maybe.
This is her baby, honestly, the awareness, aspect of it. She's tackled this from the very beginning and she won't give up on it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, share, please.
Yes. You want the detail? Well, this started as a dream probably 3 or 4 years ago, again, going back to rural Tennessee. And Ryan ended up in ER a couple of times with panic attacks that resembled heart attacks. And I was having a lot of PTSD, just going back to, you know, the times when I was caring for a husband who had cancer and thinking, oh my goodness, Lord, did you plop me out here in the middle of nowhere with 8 kids now and a husband who, you know, is having all these health issues. And that's where the idea started. I thought, you know, we're so isolated and exhausted. And that launched the Lucas Project, actually, our nonprofit, which provides recognition and respite to caregivers. But then in thinking along the recognition part, it was like, how can we bring society into our struggles in a way that will hopefully spur them to action somehow? And I'm a writer by nature, but I thought maybe there's another medium out there that would be either more effective or just as effective. And this idea of a documentary came to mind. If we could go into these homes of these caregivers, particularly the ones who don't get out much, like our family, because our son does have profound autism. Mm-hmm. And profound special needs. What that entails for us is he's nonverbal, he's incontinent, he needs assistance in every aspect of his life. So as he's aged and become bigger and more aggressive, we do find ourselves more and more isolated because it's just so difficult to bring him anywhere and to engage in society. So after years of prayer and finally moving towards Nashville, I started to present this idea to a couple of filmmakers who I found online, and nothing was a good fit until the filmmaker that we're working with now and his wife, who's the producer, and I'm the associate producer. We just started brainstorming and they loved the idea and they were a godsend. They are the perfect fit for this project. And it's just gonna be like an episode by episode type of thing. The first episode is exploring our family's journey through special needs and how we kind of continue to chase this unicorn idea of resources and support for this child, this one child, and continue to uproot our lives just to try to make his life easier and in turn our lives easier, because the child is only as well as the caregivers. And if our mental health isn't well and isn't doing very well, the child isn't going to be doing very well. So that's the whole goal, is to just peel back that curtain. And then hopefully society at large will begin to see these families and will start to see more resources and support come from a project like this.
Well, I cannot wait for that. Go ahead, Ryan. What were you going
to
say?
Yeah, I think it's good to point out that the focus on this particular documentary is about the caregiver themselves. A lot of times there's a lot of information about out there for kids. There is a lot of resources for the kids and opportunities for kids, but the caregivers get left behind. and we become martyrs often. Mm-hmm. So I think this is just bringing awareness to that battle that we deal with on a daily basis. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There are no breaks.
Right.
So that's just, I think that's the key to that, is just bringing people into our homes, like Jess said, and somehow getting the churches involved in coming to us as caregivers, rather than trying to open the door to us to come to them.
Right. Mm. You know, I love that. And I think that I love that you both have such a heart for the caregivers, because it is, it's something, you know, the special needs child obviously is going through their own battle, but it affects the entire family and it affects a marriage for sure. And, you know, I was telling you guys before we actually hopped on this episode how excited I am to have you all here, because Dave and I have been praying for the right couple to come and speak on this, because it needs to be for special needs, you know, families who are facing special needs challenges because they're raising a child with special needs. Only you know what that's really like, because like you said, you live that every day. And we do hear from so many couples where this is the thing that is really hard on their marriage, because of the time that it takes, because of the financial burden, not having enough resources, because of the different phases their child is going through, and it causing, you know, it causing an upset in the family, because the child maybe can't speak for themselves. So the parents and the brothers and sisters don't know what they need, and it can be so hard. And, you know, I cannot wait for this documentary. I believe you said it's called Unseen, correct? Unseen. And I love that. And that's the perfect title. And so we'll definitely, we're going to put information in the show notes about that so you guys can be following along. But I'd love for you both to speak on, specifically as it relates to your marriage, how you keep a strong marriage with everything you've been facing, but specifically with raising Lucas and having to make these moves. You know, how do you guys make sure that you make time for each other?
I'll go ahead. Your voice is probably weak anyway.
She's facing a cold, guys, but she sounds great.
That's right. Yeah. I think there's a couple keys to that. I think prioritizing our marriage has always been number one to us, and communication. Mm-hmm. You hear that about everything. And I think that's something I've really struggled with, because I'm quiet, keep to myself. And it got so bad that, like she said, I was having panic attacks because I just wasn't letting go of some of that stuff that was building up inside of me. But yeah. I think what we've done is, you know, you do have to sacrifice somewhere in order to make your marriage a priority.
Yeah.
So I think it's an ongoing process. But I think for us, we've just said, you're my wife, you're first, yeah. Then everything else comes second. And sometimes I have to schedule that. Work is sometimes second. Kids are sometimes second. It just depends on what's going on in that moment. But, you know, we surround ourselves with God. I know a lot of people say you put God first, and I view that a little bit differently. I think God is in everything. So we make sure that he is part of everything. So we try to pray every morning as often as we can. That doesn't always happen. We're far from perfect. And we try to stick together no matter what. So we take walks together on a daily basis. We wind down together every night. Mm-hmm. Our kids have to go to bed earlier probably than most, because we want some downtime for ourselves, just the two of us. And that's a challenge, especially with special needs, because he needs constant care. So in order to prioritize that, we might have to hire help, or we might have to get our kids to pitch in and say, hey, go sit with Luke for a little bit so that mom and I can eat dinner together, you know, or whatever that might be. We're going to go out on a date. And that's a regular thing for us. We make that a priority almost every week. And we've even done that remotely while she's in Michigan and I'm in Tennessee. We might have a Zoom meeting, or we might FaceTime, or just we find a way. We pray together over the phone. I mean, it's just, again, like I said, it's prioritizing that and making that first in our lives.
I'm super excited about some Mother's Day gifts and future birthday gifts that I have coming up. And it's made possible through our friends at Aura, A-U-R-A. An Aura frame is essentially a digital picture frame that you can upload and customize really at any point. You can have your pictures streaming in real time. You can change what pictures it shows. You can make it exactly what you want it to be. It's so customizable. It's so cool. You can even add pictures to a loved one's frame in some other state or other part of the world by uploading a new picture you think they'll love that'll pop up on their frame. And it's a great way to keep families connected. I think this is one of the most thoughtful gifts that you could give. So I want you to go to AuraFrames.com and use the promo code NAKED to get $30 off plus free shipping, which is an amazing deal. That's AuraFrames.com. Use the code NAKED, and I promise you, they're going to love their Aura frame. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it has saved its members on average $720 a year with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. And so how it works, it monitors everything you're spending. It gives you a quick snapshot of where the money's going when it feels like money's flying out the windows like it does at our house sometimes. It helps you identify where it's going and specifically those ongoing subscriptions. Maybe you signed up for a free trial, forgot to cancel it. Next thing you know, you're being charged $10 a month for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And it cancels that stuff for you.
And we want to save you money too, because you guys, life is expensive. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/naked. That's rocketmoney.com/NAKED. rocketmoney.com/naked. I love that. I mean, I really hope that people were listening, because that's huge. You know, making it a priority and doing whatever it takes, you know, because you're not, I think so many times it's so easy for us to be like, well, we can't do this because of whatever.
Right. People, you know, we all can make excuses. You know, we all can make excuses like, I can't prioritize my marriage because of this, or we can't do a date night because of this. But to listen to your story, it really does. It removes the ability to make excuses for so many people, because you guys are making that time a priority, as you should, and as is so important. And it's a lifeline to make your marriage a priority, to have those date nights, to have those conversations, to have that time together at the end of the day, to go on those walks. And you guys have had to be so intentional. And that's such an encouragement for all of us in whatever season of life, because no matter how busy we might be, no matter what unique challenges we might be facing in our marriage, there are always solutions to make some time together a priority, even though there are very real challenges. And what Jess and Ryan are facing, it's a 24/7 very real challenge. I mean, just raising 8 kids, period. I mean, that alone, you know, my hat is off to you. That alone, when they're all healthy, that is a full-time, around-the-clock job. Yeah. But when one of those kids does need 24/7 care the way that Lucas does, and, you know, the unique strain that could put on a couple. So I just applaud how you guys are continuing to make time for each other a priority. What would be some of your encouragement? Because I know we've got people listening that have been waiting for this episode, where we are giving awareness and shining light on those couples and on those families where they are caring for a special needs child and the very unique struggles that come with that. What would be your encouragement to that caregiver, to that couple who are listening, who feel unseen, they feel exhausted, they feel just completely worn out? What's the hope, or maybe the practical tips that you would share with couples like that?
Give one and then I'll let you take the rest. I think that the best gift that you can give your kids, and Jess agrees with this, is to have a good marriage, for them to see us communicate, to see them, for all of our kids to see us happy and enjoying each other and laughing together and spending time together and making each other a priority. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people think you got to keep your kids first in line, and it's just not the case. You do your marriage first, everything else will follow. Yeah. All right, it's all yours, babe.
I love it.
I would agree. I think having loved and lost, both of us, you know, we knew from the very beginning that our marriage was going to be a priority, and we always had this vision. And I think having a vision for your marriage, where I always saw, you know, my whole family gathered around this big table with all of the kids grown, including Lucas, you know, enjoying good food and, you know, just enjoying each other's company. And I think with keeping that vision in place, we've prioritized our marriage. And I know our kids oftentimes think, you and Dad always do things together, or, you know, they'll say to Ryan, you know, you'll always pick mom's side or whatever. But at the end of the day, we do that because we want to give them the gift of an intact family at the end of all of this. And we might not be their best friends while they're growing up, but I do want to be their best friends as adults and enjoy their company. So, and I would say just for caregivers too, I think the whole premise of everything I do in writing and documentary work and nonprofit work comes down to being honest and vulnerable. And I think as long as caregivers continue to paint this picture that our lives are so blessed, and there is blessing, absolutely, there's blessing in raising Lucas, but there are so many hardships too. And unless we start to speak about some of the difficulties that our lives entail, people aren't going to know. So churches aren't going to know. Small groups aren't going to know. Society at large isn't going to know if we just stay isolated and exhausted within our own little bubbles and we don't ever speak out or tell people. So I hope that my life and the work that I do is giving people permission to say, I love my child. I would do anything for my child, but this is really hard and I really need some help.
Yes.
And then I hope society and churches start to gather around these families. And I guess I would say too, just stay present or try to stay present. I'm not the greatest at that, but I think when you're a caregiver, it's really easy to look down the road and start to get overwhelmed at everything that the caring for your child is going to take from you mentally, physically, you know, all of it. And I'll just give an example. When Lucas was born, I just saw myself in the hospital constantly because everybody told me, oh, kids with shunts have shunt malfunctions all the time, so be prepared. Sometimes these kids have, you know, 5, 6, 7 shunt malfunctions a year. So I'm envisioning my entire life being spent in the hospital.
Right.
Lucas is now 16 years old. He's landed in the hospital, what, 3 times, honey? Like,
wow.
And that was mostly this last year.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So I'm obsessing about this whole idea that never even happened. And if I would have just stayed present and just, you know, taken life moment by moment, day by day, I wouldn't have had to waste so much energy worrying about what the future was going to look like for him. So I think that's my 2 cents.
You know, I love that. Like not obsessing on the worst case scenario. And I do think, you know, you mentioned PTSD earlier because, I mean, here you had lost a spouse to brain cancer, and then there's trauma in that. And then also dealing with some, you know, then thinking too about what's going to happen with Lucas. And then when you know, Ryan, were going through your health battle too. And then the trauma that brings, because what if, you know, this is the same thing's happening. I'm losing my spouse. You know, I feel like it's those things that can keep you up at night, and then you're not resting. And then when you don't rest well, you know, you're not at your best either. And so, you know, I love that. I think it definitely causes you to just really have to depend on the Lord just for your strength. I mean, have you guys seen that in your own journey? Just sometimes having to take it, you know, minute by minute with some of these situations you've had to face.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's what walking is for us, like step by step. It's why we walk every day. Just it's a metaphor for our life, our marriage, our family.
Yeah.
I think praying every day too makes a big difference, because often you're much more vulnerable when you're speaking to God and when you're with your spouse and you're praying about the things that are going on. That's a form of communication that your spouse understands. I understand what you're dealing with too. And I know, and now you know what I'm dealing with, because our prayers are very similar, but often something that I'm dealing with comes out in a prayer that may not necessarily come out when I'm just talking to Jess about it.
Yeah. That's so true. We do. We make ourselves so, you know, we humble ourselves before the Lord when we're praying, but also before our spouse. You know, there is this element of humility and just vulnerability that we have that maybe, and just like you said, just normal conversation we wouldn't share. I love that. You know, I want to talk about, you mentioned, Jess, how there's blessing in raising a special needs child. And we definitely, I love how you all are shining light on the struggle, because again, I think that so many times we tell ourselves, oh, we don't want to let people know what a struggle it is. We're just going to focus on the good. And so I think there is a balance there and being real about the struggle, because you said people who aren't raising a special needs child don't know if you don't tell them. But I also would love to hear what a blessing, you know, that Lucas has been to you and your kids. You know, I want to say this. I was just on your Facebook, Jess Plus the Mess. You guys definitely follow her on Facebook. And I saw your recent post about your son, and you call him Josh is cool. Is that right? Is that...
That's what Josh told Luke to call him.
Oh, okay. And I smiled.
Luke is primarily nonverbal, but he'll he'll mimic things. So Josh taught Luke that his name is Josh is cool.
I love that. But I saw where you said that, you know, with this move, some of you are in Tennessee and some of you are in Michigan, and how Lucas was struggling a little bit emotionally. And you, I hope I'm saying this right, so correct me if I'm wrong, but then you were able to bring Josh is cool in. And you have these pictures. You guys, please go to their Facebook page. But it's showing these brothers just it's the sweetest relationship. And it touched my heart, you know, not even knowing these kids. And I just thought, man, it's such a window into like how your kids, I know, are learning things that are just so sweet. And I would just love for you to speak on that. And I love that you share that so openly on your page.
Well, in terms of our children, I've been asked the question a time or two, you know, do you think your kids have been shortchanged because Luke is their brother and he requires so much? And my answer is always, no, I don't. As a parent, I see things in my kids that I'm extremely proud of, you know, grace and empathy and patience and kindness and seeing other people. And they know that the world doesn't revolve around them. And honestly, there are enough narcissistic children in this world today that I will gladly raise my kids a different way. Kids who aren't obsessed with the latest TikTok video or what the celebrities are saying, but who can set aside their screens and help their brother or sit with their brother, because that brings some comfort. So in terms of like how my kids are shortchanged or not shortchanged, I think the things that they're gleaning because Luke is their brother so far outweigh what the rest of the children are learning, you know, in our normal modern day culture here. So that's just speaking for our kids. I don't know, honey, can you say anything differently?
About our kids?
Yeah.
I'm sure they feel like they're missing out on something. Don't all kids? I mean, I know I did. They're missing out on something, but they're gaining so much more. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the compassion that they're going to feel toward other kids, and the lack of judgment that they're going to have, this understanding that, you know, you can't give to somebody, they have to learn. So for them to experience Lucas at his most vulnerable, and they see he is vulnerable, he can't do anything without us. Mm-hmm. And I think they realize that. They would love to not have to share time, I'm sure, with him, because he gets a lot of our time. But what kid wouldn't? I mean, every kid wants mom and dad to be there all the time. But I think this is good for them. We have very independent children because of this, for one reason. That's not the only reason they're independent, but we raise our children that way. But the Josh is cool thing, it touches my heart.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm usually the only one that can calm Lucas. And that's always been the case since I've known him. And to have Josh step in and really want to, he wants to help Luke. He wants to understand him. And when he sits down with Luke changes. Yeah. Luke looks at Josh like, you get it. You understand what I need. So just stay here. And sometimes it gets a little aggressive where he's like, stay here because you're not leaving.
Yeah.
And Josh embraces it, and he tries to work with him on his alphabet, his numbers, and he sings to him. And Luke just starts swinging like, who's the singer? I forget now.
Stevie Wonder. Is it Stevie Wonder?
Stevie Wonder.
Yes,
yeah.
I totally know.
Doing that all the time. As soon as Josh starts singing, that's what he does. So they have such a great relationship.
That is beautiful.
Isn't it awesome?
Every parent's dream to see, you know, your siblings, and to see your children with a heart of compassion like that. Mm-hmm. And man, you guys are doing it right. And
I want to mention one thing. I could tell you're already going to wrap up. Is that okay? Really quick, sweetie. Okay. So I don't want readers to miss out on this, but Jess actually has a book that is getting ready to come out. And it is called Blended with Grit and Grace, because, you know, both of you are a blended family. And so there's definitely, you know, unique challenges that come with that. And you guys speak on so much. In this book, you guys, the way that Jess writes is just beautiful. Like it's one of those books where you stop and you're like, ooh, I need to stop and think about that for a minute. But then the next page, she'll just be so like the honest candor. Like you just have such a great way of writing. You're very much a gifted writer. And I know after hearing this interview, they're going to want to hear more of your all story and also your wisdom on blending also with, you know, raising special needs. There's just so much in there. And, that I know all of us can learn, even if you're not a blended family. It's an amazing book to read. And so I just would love for you, if you want to kind of, as we prepare to close, speak on that a little bit, Jess.
On the book?
On the book, yes, sorry.
Well, the story begins with my first memoir, Sunlight Burning at Midnight. And that's when I received the diagnosis with lupus. And that's my late husband's cancer journey. And then Blended with Grit and Grace is a continuation of our story. It's after I meet Ryan and we moved to rural Tennessee. And I would say that book primarily takes place in our 6-7 years out on our rural homestead and the lessons we learned and the joys and the trials and the ups and the downs and everything in between. But yeah, like you had mentioned, there are some heavy parts. And then I try to lighten the mood a little bit with some humor. Sarcasm is my love language. So,
good thing you married me.
What's that?
Good thing you married me.
Right. You get my sarcasm. Right.
That's great.
And yeah, I just actually signed a contract for a third book over the weekend.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I guess I wasn't going to take a break anytime soon.
Right. You have enough to do.
That's
right.
With all that free time.
Right. Exactly. And this will be a marriage book,
wonderful.
That will be releasing February 2023.
Well, that's awesome. Wow. We look forward to that book, too.
Yeah, so definitely.
I guess Amazon's the best place for them to go pre-order that.
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Perfect. We'll put that in the show notes, too. Go ahead, sweetie. I'm so sorry. I just wanted to make sure.
No, that's that. Definitely. We are all about sharing those kind of powerful resources. So as we wrap up, where else can people connect with you right now? If they want to learn more about you, if they want to connect with what you're doing and they want to learn where they can watch this upcoming documentary, where should people go?
Well, Ryan is nowhere.
I'm right here if you want to come find me.
That's right. He's here.
He's right here.
If you want to connect with Ryan, you'll have to reach out to me. I'm at justplusms.com and then justplusms on Instagram and Facebook. Our nonprofit is thelucasproject.org. And the documentary is caregiverdoc.com.
Love it. Well, again, thank you guys so much for taking time out of your busy schedule while you guys are in the midst of a move and in two different places. But we just, you know, one day, Jess, I know we talked about this in our phone conversation. We want to meet with you guys. We want to sit down and have dinner when everything settles a little bit for you guys in Michigan. So I'm looking forward to that day sometime in the future. But we just, we're sending you guys lots of prayer and blessing over this move. And we are grateful for you all the work that you do.
Well, thank you so much for having us. And yes, we will take you up on that dinner offer anytime.
Awesome.
We would love it.
And things won't ever slow down for us. So
well, true. I know.
Right.
We'll prioritize you.
We'll take a moment. Yeah.
We'll take a moment. Yeah, it would be our honor and pleasure. But thank you so much for making time for this. And for those who've watched this and listened to this, thank you for being part of this journey, this conversation. Check out those links and resources that Jess just shared about to stay connected with this family's incredible journey. And our prayers, like Ashley said, are with you guys in the days ahead. We know God's got great things in store for you. So thank you again.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.